Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Bow with me as we say a quick prayer. Father in heaven, Lord God, I thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. I thank you for each and every one that's here. I pray, Lord, that you add an extra special blessing to each and every one that's here today, Lord, and that you'd be with us, put your spirit here among us, Lord. And as we worship you today, Lord, may it be a good day in your house, and to you be all the glory and praise. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. We announced in the announcements that we're doing the this week and next week. We have the nominations, and those are for trustee and board members. And there's the breakdown there on the in the bulletin of who has time left on their terms and who doesn't. But we neglected to pass out these little handy nomination slips. So I would like to ask maybe Eric and Alex to come forward and hand these out. And then if you get bored during my message, you can write something on those you want to. And then when you're done with them, you can either, I don't know who's got the offering right now, but we can find out. Who has the offering bag? Eric? Eric has the offering bag, so if you have something put on there after we start to conclude the day, you can find Eric and then get those dropped in the offering bag, and then we'll gather them up. And it's like organization is key, right? So, today I was going to talk to you a little bit about the life of a man named Jacob. Everybody knows who Jacob is, right? He's sitting right there between Aaron and Nyla. You see him back there? Caleb and Nyla, and then Aaron's next one over, and Elijah, which means, what's Elijah mean, Elijah? God is Lord, Lord is God. Some of you might not know that Jacob's name is Jacob because some people call him Chilo. So, but the Jacob we're going to be talking about today, he had a little bit of a name change thing going on too. So that's a little bit relevant. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Genesis, I'm going to go through a little bit of the story of Jacob. A couple verses there that Isaiah read for the scripture reading was Genesis 25, 26, and 27, 36. I might want to take special note on those, but Jacob was the son of Rebekah and Isaac. He was the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. And his life starts off with his mother noticing that in her womb that there's a struggle going on in the womb of Rebekah. There's two children inside her womb, and she goes to consult with the Lord, and the Lord tells her that the younger or the older will serve the younger. And the one verse there that Isaiah read in Genesis chapter 25, verse 26. If you'd like to turn there with me again, we'll read that one again. Genesis 25, 26. And this is when he's about to be born, and it says that I'll go back to verse 25, and it says, "And first came out the red." Or I'll actually go back to verse 24. It says, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother out, And he took his he took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 70 years old when she bore him. Means Isaac was, if you know what a score is, that's a 20. So that makes that Isaac 60 years old. But they called him Jacob because he took hold of Esau's heel. The boys, they began to grow up. Jacob and his brother Esau. Isaac had some preference for Esau, because he was a good hunter. He'd go out and kill venison, kill deer, bring in the meat. And his mother, Rebekah, had kind of a preference for Jacob. One day, Esau had gone out hunting, and he became very faint. And he's very hungry. And he came to Jacob, and Jacob was making some pottage of lentils. And he says, you know, give me some of your lentils. And Jacob told him, if you want the lentils, I'll give them to you for your birthright. And Esau reasoned. He says, well, you know, what good is my birthright if I die, right? And so he sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. As time goes on, Esau, he marries some Hittite women. This is a bit kind of a frustration for Rebekah and Isaac. They're not making them too happy. It's one thing I think about sometimes is, you know, I hope my kids marry people that I like. Kind of one thing that I'm praying for. I hope that they marry godly people, and that the people that love the Lord, and that people that can be a delight in my life. But Rebekah and Isaac, they're having some struggles here with the ones that Esau had married. Jacob, he's not married yet, but as time goes by, Isaac is getting older. And Isaac says, you know, he says to Esau, you know, I don't know when I'm going to die, but, you know, I'm maybe getting close here. So he says, I want you to make me some of that good venison, and I'll give you a blessing. Rebekah overhears after Esau leaves, and she tells Jacob, and she says, hey, Isaac's going to give the blessing. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to make some good meat, and we're going to say that you're Esau, that you can get the blessing. And Jacob says, well, you know, that Esau, he's a very hairy guy, and I'm kind of a smooth guy. What if Isaac, what if my father feels my skin, and then he perceives me as a deceiver, and then curses me instead of blesses me? And Rebecca says, you know, I'll your curse would be on me. Just do as I'm asking you here. So they make the meat together, and they go to Isaac, and Isaac seems to kind of be a little confused because it sounds like Jacob, and he says, you know, let me feel you. And they had put animal skin on Jacob's hands, so they felt hairy. And then he says, well, you sound like Jacob, but you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Anyway, he goes and he eats the meat, and then he blesses Jacob. He gives him the blessing. And then shortly after he gives Jacob the blessing, Esau comes rolling in. And he says, well, who are you? And he says, I'm Esau. I'm the one that I come for my blessing. I brought you the meat. And then Isaac, he realizes. He says, well, you know, I just gave the blessing to Jacob. And that's how it is. It's too late now. And then Esau says, and this is what Isaiah read in the other part of the scripture reading. He says, is he not, and he said, this is Genesis 27:36. And he says, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he says to Isaac, he says, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren I have given to him for his servants, and with the corn and the wine have I sustained him. And what shall I now do unto thee, my son? Esau's frustrated. He lost his blessing. He sold his birthright. He tells Jacob, isn't he rightly named? Jacob. So first Jacob, when they're born, he takes the heel. They named him Jacob. Indication here is that Jacob also means that he's a supplanter. He's overcome and he's taken it. Rebecca and Isaac realize that Esau is angry, and they have the prior frustration with the wives that Esau has taken from the Hittites, and so Jacob ends up going back to Rebekah's family, and he goes back there, and he comes across Laban, Rebekah's brother, and Laban has a couple daughters. And one of them, Rachel, Jacob adores. And Jacob spends time there. He spends 7 years working for Laban. The agreement that after the 7 years that he would marry Rachel. At the end of the 7 years, Laban pulls a fast one on him. On the night of their marriage, it ends up being Leah that's there instead of Rachel. And Jacob is like, well, hey, I work for Rachel. So he says, well, work yet another 7 years and I'll give you Rachel also. So he works another 7 years. And I believe after that he works another 6 years with Laban. And he has some dealings with them, and he ends up growing and prospering, and he gets a lot of the livestock that was Laban as part of his wages. So now he has his wives. In the meantime, he has his sons. Jacob has 11 sons at this time, and daughter Dinah, I believe. Benjamin's not born yet. But then God calls Jacob and he says, it's time to go back. It's time to go back to the promised land, the land that I promised to Abraham and to Isaac. And this is kind of where we pick up the story. If you'd like to turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to go through the whole chapter of Genesis chapter 32, I mean. And this is where Jacob is returning to the land of Canaan. And keep in mind, when he left, Esau was very angry and wanted to kill him. And so Esau is still there. And as he's coming back, he fears for his life. fears for the life of his children. He feels for the life of his wives. And then, and during this process of coming back, he has another. He has an encounter there, and we're going to review it here in this story. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 32 of Genesis, it says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob said when he saw them, 'This is God's host.' And he called the name of that place Mahanaim." And then it says, "And then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the field of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall you say unto my lord Esau, Thus saith thy servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and maid servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I might find favor in thy sight.' And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, 'We have come to thy brother Esau, and moreover, he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him.'" So I think Jacob at this point, he's thinking, Esau's coming with 400 men. Jacob's traveling. He's not prepared for war. He's got his wives, his children, he's got animals he's trying to move. And Esau's coming with 400 men. He's feeling a little nervous because when he left, remember, Esau wanted to kill him. It says that Jacob, verse 7, it says, "Jacob was greatly afraid and was distressed, and he divided the people there with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, 'If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the company which is left shall escape.' And Jacob said, 'O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Jehovah, who saidest unto me, Return unto thy country and unto thy kindred, and I will do thee good. I am not worthy of the least of thy loving kindness, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over Jordan, and now I am become two companies. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, and he came, and he come and smite me, the mother with the children. As thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." So Jacob's in this situation here, he's coming back home. He's very afraid, he's very distressed. I can pay special close attention to the words that he says in verse 10, where he says, "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy loving kindness and of all your truth which you have showed unto your servant." He recognizes that God has blessed him. From the time of his birth, God has called him. There's a promise with David, with Jacob from the very beginning, that he would be the one to which the promise would come. But he recognizes at this point that everything that he does, he's not worthy of it. He's afraid. He realizes at this point his need for God. He knows that God has promised him stuff, but he sees the challenge ahead of him. He says, "God, I know you've promised me to make my seed like the sand of the sea. I know that promise that has come through Abraham. But I know that I'm not worthy. Look at me. I'm dividing my family. I'm putting my less favored ones out front. Look at what I'm doing. I'm not worthy. Picking up at verse 13, it says, and then he lodged there that night. And he took that which he had with him, a present for his brother Esau, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewe lambs and 20 rams, 30 milk camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 10 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hands of his servants, every drove by itself, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space between drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau, my brother, meet you, and ask you, saying, whose art thou? Whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, these are thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And he beheld, and behold, he is behind us. And he commanded also the second and the third, and all that follow the drove, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when you find him. And you shall say, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. And afterward, I will seek his face. Peradventure he will accept me. So the present passed over before him, and he himself lodged that night in the company. And he arose up that night and took his two wives and his two handmaids and his 11 children and passed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the stream and sent them which he had. So Jacob takes all his people. He passes over Jabbok, that river. And he's sending them ahead. He's sending his servants as an appeasement. He's sending gifts. And then he's left all alone behind by himself. And then when Jacob was left alone, this is verse 24, it says, and when Jacob was left alone, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Jacob is by himself. And then he has this very special encounter. This man's wrestling him with him to the break of day. And then verse 25, it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. And then he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, that thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask of my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob has this very special encounter. He's received the blessing from his father. He's bought the birthright from his brother. And then he's wrestling this man and he says, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. The guy asks him, what's your name? He says, Jacob. He says, you'll no longer be called Jacob. This is the one that grabbed the heel. The one's the supplanter. But I'm going to call you Israel. Because you have striven with God and with men and prevailed. He has a new name. And this name is a blessing. Then it says in verse 30, it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Anytime you see L in a name, E-L, it means God. Anybody with a name that was like Michael? E-L is God. Elizabeth? It means God. Elijah? It means God. Israel? There's God in that. Gabriel? There's God in that. This one says Peniel. It gives the definition of it right here where it says, he says, because I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. This gives us the information of who is this that he encountered? Who is this that he wrestled with? He says, I have seen God face to face and prevailed. And my life is preserved. Excellent. Finishing up the chapter, it says in verse 31, it says, and the sun rose up and he passed over Peniel and he limped on his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew of the hip which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of the hip. Jacob is given his name, Jacob, when he's born. And after this very special encounter, where he says, I've seen God face to face, he comes out of it with a new name. It's good to have a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of thy death than the day of one's birth. Some of us have different names here. We've had changed names. Old Nacho over there. His name's not Nacho, it's Ignacio, and sometimes people call him Boy. Sometimes I call Levi Squeaks. Everybody likes that, all right? Sometimes I call Eric Podsednik. I got different names for different people. If I got a different name from you, that means I like you. I notice the Moritos, they tend to have multiple names a lot of further. Like Wade mentioned, like Chilo being Jacob. Why does God give Jacob a new name? He gives it to him as a blessing. I think in a similar fashion to the way that he called Simon, he says, I'm going to call you Peter. It's because Peter was special to him. Saul's name, it got changed to Paul. He ended up being called Paul. At first, Saul's going around. He's killing people. He's killing people or persecuting the people that are servants of Jesus. He thinks he's doing the right thing. But when he has a change and he has an encounter with Christ, and he goes on to be a great witness and great apostle, he gets a new name. I can imagine people that had heard of Saul and what Saul did. Like, hey, Saul's coming to town. Oh, maybe it's not a good idea to come into contact with Saul. So maybe it was good that he started going by Paul, because then maybe when he comes to town to be a witness for Christ, get a better reception. Our name is our reputation. That's why the proverb where it says it's better to have a good name than great riches. You know, you could have a great name, or you could have a lot of riches, but if you have a bad name, you have a lot of bad reaction from people. I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. I think these verses, they kind of give a sort of a recap on what's happened here with Jacob and his life, and what becomes of him and his descendants as a family, the blessing that was promised to him. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him." He starts off in verse 1, he says, "O Jacob, he formed thee." But then he changes, he says, "O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Created him, Jacob. When he redeemed him, he becomes Israel. He talks about all the blessings for Israel, the things that they don't have to fear, the ways that he brings them through. He tells them, "I'm your Savior." And then 7, he says, "Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." Are you called by God's name? Are you created for God's glory? Is it he who formed you? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is where Solomon had finished the temple, and they're dedicating the temple. There was a great sacrifice, a great celebration. But then he says in verse 14, he says, because he's already realizing that people, in their nature, that they'd turn from God. He's dedicated this temple, but he knows that since people turn from him, he gives them this message. He says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If my people, which are called by my name, just like Jacob had humbled himself before he met God at Peniel, he said, "I'm not worthy," and became called by his name. God provided a way for him. Revelation chapter 3, 12, chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of God. And he shall know, and shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name." Solomon had got this message when they're dedicating the temple. That if the people that are called by my name will humble themselves. And as we jump forward to Revelation, he says, "To him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And I will give him a new name. I will write upon him a new name." I'd like you to turn me to Revelation 22, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Revelation 22, 1 says, "And he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." And then verse 4 it says, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." I find it interesting that we have here in Revelation this promise here that we're talking about with the eternal kingdom of God, and how wonderful it will be where there's no more curse, where you have the tree of life, where you have the water of life, the throne of God and the Lamb. He says in verse 4, "He shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." And then think back to what we read in Genesis chapter 32 when Jacob wrestled with God. And he called it Peniel because he said, "I have seen him face to face." To me, it's an amazing link when it ties into Revelation. And it says, "And they shall see his face and write their name upon their foreheads." Jacob saw him face to face and got a new name. And this is the promise that we have. That when we humble ourselves and seek his face, that he will heal us when we are called by his name. And then we can be in his eternal kingdom and see his face, and his name will be upon us and in our foreheads. I'd like to pray the Lord bless you and keep you and be gracious to you and let his light shine upon you. God bless.